Good morning. Hope everyone's had a wonderful morning so far. It's a beautiful day. For those of us who saw the sunrise this morning, it was really, really cool, I thought. We're just give you a heads up this morning. We're going to mix it up and do a little something different worship-wise. So I hope that will be effective today. And just to also let you know, we're kind of the walking wounded up here this morning. We had big plans for worship this morning, and I got a text this morning about 6:30, and God said, that's not going to work. So we changed it up this morning. Poor Sam, she's had allergies. We accuse her of having pink eye, but she says, no, it's not pink eye, it's allergies. So I'm on the cough drops pretty hard this morning, so we may need some help from you guys. We certainly appreciate it. But we're going to praise God anyway this morning. And we're going to just thank him for this day. If you would stand up with us.
Casting my cares aside, I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day. Putting my fears aside, I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all in store for me is good. It's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you today is the day.
Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you sit down.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? He didn't respond. Poke him a little bit there. I don't think he's awake yet. You good? Okay. All right. Good morning. My name is Randy. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. I can't think of any place I'd rather be than here with you guys. That's the honest truth. We want to take a quick look at the announcements. And coming up this Wednesday is our first Wednesday service. And what I'd like to really encourage you to do is if you can, to come out for that, because this is the time. It's a little smaller group. We talk about different issues than what you do in the normal sermon stuff. It's kind of a talk and respond type thing. It's a learning session. And it's really a great time to be a little closer to your family members here in church and to get to know God a little better. So if you can, try to make it out for that. Coming up in May is Uprising, if you would read about that. That's a great thing. We have our first annual shooting queue coming up next Saturday. And what I'd like to do is, if you guys haven't looked at that or signed up for that, I'd like to encourage you. This is kind of a men's retreat we're going to have. And anybody who has signed up, I do want to remind you that you need to bring your own eye and ear protection, lounge chairs, lawn chairs, and drinks. And we're just going to have a good time up in the mountains. So sign up for that over there. If you have any questions, there is a flyer on the board back there, and should be able. I think we'll have a great time, and you should be able to answer any of your questions. We do have service projects going on here in Cornerstone. If you're good with a hammer, if you're good at carrying things, if you're good at picking up trash, I think that kind of includes everybody. That's what I usually get to do. We have special projects that's going to go on. A lot of you have already contacted us and want to be a part of that. As we get a little closer, we do have a family in the Fairview section that is literally living with a hole in the roof, covered up with plastic tarps. And when it rains, there's multiple buckets sitting around, and we want to try to help this family out. And then we're going to have a service day where we come in here, and then we have several projects throughout the community. If you'd like to participate in that, make sure you get in contact with us. But also, if you know of someone in our community or in our church that has needs, that don't have the knowledge or the skills to do something like that, let us know so we might be able to help them as well, okay? All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can gather here this morning with our friends, families, and fellow Christians. We pray that you might be with us. Open up our minds and our hearts. Let us receive the message and help us to take the message and apply it to ourselves and to our hearts and make each one of us here disciples so that we might go out and share the word with others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Randy. You know, when we come in this place every week, our sole purpose is to worship our Father, to lift him up, and to give honor and glory to his name. And I know sometimes, especially for myself, walking in that door, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's the last thing on our minds. If we've had a rough morning, may have had a fight in the car with our spouse, kids may have dumped their chocolate milk over your head coming in. Whatever it is, you know, sometimes our minds are not where they need to be. And that's just life, and that's okay. I know some of you probably have already spent good quality time with God this morning. Some of you may have not. There may be some here that haven't thought of him all week. But what we want to do is take the next 8-10 minutes, and let's just have a little time of reflective worship. We're going to sit right where we are, not going to stand, and just close your eyes, whatever you want to do to get with the Father. Nobody else in this room but you and him. Let the word sink in and just take this time to quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, and let his word sink in this morning.
You alone can understand me. Look in.
the church that you would desire. with everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout.
Psalms 103, 1 through 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits." We have so many reasons to praise him this morning. We've been blessed so much. And I know that we all have 10,000 reasons, at least. So if you would stand with us as we sing this next one.
Worship his holy name. My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Worship you this morning. We just come into this place, Father, emptying our hearts so that you could fill them back up, Father. We just thank you for all your mercy, for your kindness, your goodness. Father, we thank you that we can come here with friends and family and fellow believers, Father, and just hear your word. Father, we give you all the honor and the praise this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I can't do anything right. No wonder my boss won't promote me and my wife doesn't respect me. God's not finished with me yet. I can be the man He created me to be at work and at home. I can't believe He's acting like that. What a jerk. He must be having a really hard day. Maybe God put me here to make a difference in His life. I just can't stop doing this. I'm so frustrated with myself. I will always be this way. I can do this through Christ's strength. He will help me overcome. Succeeding at the big things has a lot to do with the little things. Thoughts, words, actions.
Welcome to Cornerstone this morning. As you can tell, we're starting a new series this morning on change. And how change can start small but have a huge impact in your life. Hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Enjoyed the weather and just enjoyed family and friends this weekend. We had a full week of kids' activities with sports and music, and have plenty of bluegrass this weekend over at Houston Fest. So that was a neat weekend. But we're glad that you're here this morning, because this is an important message. It's an important message for me. I hope it's an important message for you as well, because we're talking about, over the next few weeks, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and how they influence our destiny. Now, I kind of wanted to open up this morning just talking about my yard. Now, I know that's kind of strange, but if I'm kind of one of those guys that my yard, my neighbors really don't like me because of my yard, right? And some of you guys, some of you are that person. Some of you are the neighbors that don't like your other neighbors. When we first moved in, like in our house, and we built it 14 years ago, man, we had to work really hard to get the grass growing because you know that the dirt around it's so it's got so much red clay in it that it's practically impossible to get things to grow in it. So we fertilized it and seeded it and reseeded it and fertilized it and put lime on it. We did all that stuff, and we finally got it growing good. In the first few years, our yard actually started looking good. It was filling in and great. And then over time, if you've checked the price of fertilizer lately, you know how much I've bought, which is none, because it's really gotten expensive, and we got a pretty big yard. So over time, our yard, and we're surrounded by all these fields, so we get a lot of weeds and thistles and everything else blowing into our yard. So over time, you can kind of imagine what my yard has started to look like. Now, instead of a yard full of grass, I have a yard full of clover, of wild onions, of dandelions, you name it, it's in my yard. So I really look forward to mowing. And if we talk about my mowing schedule, so far this year I've only mowed once. And it's kind of getting a little big right now, a little tall right now. And so right now I really need to mow because the weeds are all like different heights. And so when I mow, what I pretty much do, I just go and cut the tops off all the weeds. So it looks like I have a yard full of grass. Can any of y'all relate to that? Okay. I would love that. I have a confession to make. I covet my neighbor's yards because I look at them and they're so, you know, lush and green. And mine, I'm just doing everything I can to cut the tops of the weeds off just so it looks all right for another few days. And then it keeps growing. And so... Man, that's kind of what my yard looks like. And maybe you can relate to that, but I want to tell you that's how a lot of people's lives look as well. We go through life, and I think many of us treat our spiritual lives the same way. We wait as long as we can to deal with the weeds that are growing in our spiritual lives. And then we just kind of mow over them and try to make them look nice enough and not really deal with the problem. And we keep going through life just surviving and just mowing the weeds. And this morning, what we're going to talk about, this type of change we're talking about, it's how do we really deal with this? How do we really get our spiritual lives where they need to be? I think we look at the lives of other people that have it together in some areas of their life, and we covet that. We say, man, I really want a life that looks like that. And I wish I could get there. And we don't realize that sometimes what God wants to do, He wants to make some small changes in our life that will lead to big results. And the first point this morning, I just want to share with you, it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate life. We overcomplicate growth and we think, man, we've got to do all these big things. I'm a basketball fan, and if you and one of the great coaches of all times is John Wooden. And he's got, and if you're a basketball coach, you've probably heard of his pyramid of success, and he's such a great coach. He coached at UCLA back in the 60s and 70s. He won 7 consecutive national titles. Practically unheard of. And the story is told about him that when the first practices started each year, what he did, he brought the players in. He didn't run drills. He didn't run sprints. He didn't practice free throws or passing. What he did, he actually sat his players down and said, this is how you put on your socks. And this is how you put on your shoes. And you think, well, okay, this is college basketball. And the point is, that if you don't think about how you put your socks on, you're going to get blisters. And so he had to start at the very basics, at the small things. He says, we're going to do the small things that are going to make a difference through the whole season. And if think about if we start approaching our spiritual lives like that, we start doing the small things, knowing that those small things can radically change the way we live your life. John Wooden said this. He said, it's the little things that are vital. Little things make the big things happen. And I love that because it's often the small things in our spiritual life that result in the big things that everyone wants. And we fail to realize that these small adjustments and small changes, they multiply over time and they transform us. But if we all we do in life, if we just keep mowing over the sin, we just keep mowing over the weeds in our life, we never get to the root of the issue. We never get to transformation. Last week we talked about our responsibility as Christians, that we are responsible to be transformed, to be more like Jesus. To have a transformed mind, to believe like Jesus believed, to have a transformed character, to live like Jesus lived, to have transformed relationships, to love like Jesus loved, and to have transformed service, to minister like Jesus ministered. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of take us through a familiar passage. It's in Mark 4, and kind of start getting us to think as we kind of start this series, what needs to change in our life? What's keeping us from following after Christ the way he has called us to do? So if you got your Bibles, flip over to Mark 4. Again, a familiar passage that many of you have heard, a parable that Jesus told. He said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some even 100 times. And then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And so we kind of come to that passage, and as Jesus told that to his disciples, they heard it and they didn't really get it. And so they asked him, explain this to us. And if you skip down to verse 13, this is how Jesus explained the parable. He said, don't you understand this? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word, and some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some even 100 times what was sown. And what I love about this passage is it's a very clear description of the life that so many of us live. It talks about the weeds we have in life. It talks about the reason our spiritual lives aren't growing the way they should be. And we can sit here and debate and say there's four different types of soil here in this parable. And which soil describes people who are saved and not saved? Here's what I want you to know. There's only one type of soil that we look at that we know for sure that is saved. We can debate about the others, but there's one type. Out of those four descriptions, which one do you want to be? The one that's fruitful, right? That's the one that we desire, that we ascribe to. That's the one that we are growing towards. We want to be the type of person that when we hear the word, that it is multiplied through us 30, 60, even 100 times. And so when we look at this, I want you to realize a couple of things. One, that change can happen in our lives from the inside out or from the outside in. What do I mean by that? I listened to a sermon series this week by Andy Stanley called Five Things That God Uses to Grow Your Faith. A great, great message series. And he talked about five things in our life that help us change, that help us grow. And what you realize that some of these things are external, they happen to us, and some of them are kind of internal that we do. He listed five things. He listed practical teaching. So hearing and being taught God's word, that was one of the things that God uses to grow our faith. And so that's like when you're here this morning, and then hopefully throughout the week you're learning, you're listening to good teaching that helps you grow. Providential relationships were another, that God puts the right people in your path at the right time. And I know a lot of you, if you start thinking about how you've grown in your faith, you think back to somebody that maybe said an encouraging word, or somebody that challenged you, or somebody that explained something to you that helped you grow. And so you see the importance of relationships. Another one was private disciplines. And this, again, is us spending time connecting to our Father, learning who Jesus is, learning who God is, learning His character, His nature, His purpose, His plan. And so those private disciplines that we do, that time we spent, the training for godliness that Paul calls it, those are the private disciplines that help us grow. Another one was personal ministries. And this is when we serve and we get out and we do things for others. And God can use that to grow us and to help us mature in the process. And the last one is very much an external thing. It's pivotal circumstances in your life. One of the things, and this is what's so hard for us to kind of to grasp hold of, one of the things that helps us grow the fastest are when circumstances happen to us beyond our control. It may be a tragedy. It may be suffering. It may be pain. It may be the unexpected news that catches you by a surprise, that forces you to let go of some control and to start trusting God. And so those five things, the teaching, the relationships, the disciplines, the ministries, their circumstances, if you think back through your life, I think you start seeing that you grow from the inside out and you also grow from the outside in. And we see that growth that takes place. Sometimes we grow through our experiences. If you've served on a mission trip, maybe you've understood God's love in a new way and you've come back energized and recharged. Or maybe, like I said, you've experienced a traumatic event and that forces you to turn to God for comfort. But in each time that something happens in our life, we've got that decision to make. Are we going to turn back to God and are we going to trust Him? Are we going to trust Him through our problems? Are we going to find joy through everything that happens to us? There's a passage in 2 Peter that I think that helps us understand this idea of growth and this idea of change and this idea how small things can transform us. In 2 Peter, we read, by His divine power, God has given us what? Everything we need. I think we just need to be reminded of that. We can underline that star, that we have been given everything we need for living a godly life. And I'm afraid that so many of us, we say, man, if I just had a yard like my neighbors, right? I mean, we start looking at everybody else's life and we think, man, if I just had what they have, then I could grow. Then I could do something great for God. But look at me, I can't do any. I mean, we've got to be reminded, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself, by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted, they're blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sin. And when we read a passage like this, I hope you start understanding that lasting change comes from focusing on our heart. And there's really two things that we have got to do if we want to grow. There's really a couple things here. If we want to make a big difference in our life, if we want to see a big difference from how we live in now, there's a couple things I want to challenge you to do. The first thing, we need to pull some weeds. Okay? We need to start weeding. How many of you all like working in the garden? Okay. It's hard work, right? That's why we have kids. They're lower to the ground. It's a lot easier for them to bend over. Okay?
I'm just saying, I mean, weeding is hard work. It's not, you get dirty, you get sweaty, it is work. And I know, I mean, I like getting outside, honestly. I like working outside. But the reality is it's not always pleasant, okay? And when we start talking about pulling weeds in our life, man, it's not always pleasant. This is some hard work. But this is the small things that we have to do if we want to see a big difference. We've got to admit first that we have weeds. I think that's a huge problem for so many people in the church. We just keep mowing over them. We just keep trimming the tops, acting like, man, everything is all right. Maybe nobody will see these weeds growing in my yard. You know, eventually by the end of the summer, it starts getting real noticeable because the weeds choke out the grass in my yard. And so, you know, it gets real noticeable. But the problem is we don't drill down. We don't eradicate the roots that keep producing all these weeds to start with. We see this happen all the time in several areas of our life. Two of the areas that are most affected by this are relationships and our addictions. And as soon as I say those two words, I know a lot of y'all saying, well, I don't have a problem with relationships and I don't have a problem with addiction. Well, let's think about this. Let's talk about relationships first. How can we get rid of some weeds? What about your relational conflict? It could be with your spouse, your children, your in-laws, your boss, your brother, your sister, your parents. Pick any of those relationships. In your mind right now, is there a difficult relationship that's causing you some major headaches? Is a relationship in your life that's causing you anger? Is there a relationship in your life that's making you just get frustrated? You see, I think when we all step back and we think about the relationships in life, there are those people that require a little bit of extra grace. There are people in our life that cause conflict and we try to avoid. I talked about that last week. There's some people we see in Walmart and we turn the other way and run. Okay, there are relational problems. There are relationships that we have to deal with. And here's what I want you to think about. And I'm going to challenge you here a little bit. I said this gets unpleasant at times. When you start thinking about all the relational problems in your life and all those people that you don't like to be around and all those people that have done something to you, maybe the conflict you're having is not primarily about them. Maybe God is working in that conflict to reveal something about you. Have you thought about it that way? Maybe God is using that person as a mirror for you to look at and to see something wrong in your own life, to see some weeds that need pulling, to see some things that need changing. So maybe it's time to pull out the shovel and the hand tools and to start digging. Instead of just trimming them off, let's start looking at the root of the problem. Because if you keep seeing the same problem crop up with different people, maybe there's an issue in your heart that needs addressing. And maybe you've got to, instead of looking at the other person's sin, you've got to start addressing your own. Let's talk about addictions. You say, I don't know. I'm not on drugs. I don't have an addiction. Really? What about food? We got some stress eaters in here. What about anger? Okay. What about control? We have some people in here that like holding on to control, kind of addicted to that control. What about pride? What about adrenaline? I could keep going. I mean, there's lots of things we get addicted to. And that we kind of brush over. You see, we all struggle with addictions. We just don't like to call them that. And so we have to kind of go down deep into our heart and see what's truly wrong. Even if you're struggling and even if you end up stopping drinking or getting angry or whatever it is, if you're not careful, if you don't deal with the root issue, then you're just going to trade out one addiction for another. And we see that so many times. And we've got to be careful to keep a new weed growing from the same root, because we don't want to just keep mowing over. We don't want to keep dealing with the same problem over and over and over again. I'll tell you, the Bible's not silent about the sin in our life and how we've got to deal with it. There's three passages here that are pretty blunt, that are pretty messy when we read them. And I'll share these with you. Galatians 5 says this. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, any sex outside of marriage is included in that. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And that's strong language, right? That anybody that's living this type of lifestyle, they're not focused on God. And we start singing pride, anger, jealousy, selfishness, dissension, division, all these things. These are sins that get mowed over. These are sins that don't get talked about a lot in church. I think church sometimes is guilty of focusing on the big ones. And you kind of just read right through lists like that and you don't even stop to think about them. Ephesians 5 is a very similar passage. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These are not for you. We are called to live differently. Hope you understand that. It says, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Here's that same language again. For a greedy person is an idolater. So you see there, at the root of greed is idolatry. Worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. We've got to pull some weeds in our life. There are things that we need to deal with. There are things that dramatically affect our relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin. We see that again. We see how much of a problem that is in our society today too. Those who worship idols, who commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or who cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And out of those three passages, I didn't count. There's probably, 30 sins there that get pulled out, that get listed, and all of those are important for us to look at. We've got weeds in our life that need to be pulled. We've got things that we need to take responsibility for. Instead of blaming everybody else, we need to acknowledge sin for what it is and we need to deal with it. Do you struggle with sexual immorality? If you do, then confess it. Bring it into the light. Let's deal with it. Let's look at it in our life. Let's go through that process of repentance where we turn from our sin and turn back to God. Do you deal with anger in your life? Then confess it. Do you deal with lust? Confess it. Do you have addictions that you're struggling with? Then let's confess it. Let's get it out. Let's pull it. Let's get down to the roots. And the best way to start stripping that sin of its power in your life is to bring it from the dark into the light. It's to bring it out into the open, to acknowledge it for what it is. It's to say that this thing in my life, even though it seems small, this is a big deal. I've got to deal with it. It's always a process in our life. And as we grow in our faith, we start recognizing more and more sin in our own life. And I think the problem is so many times we're so passionate about pointing out sins in other people that we never deal with the sin in our own life. And so my challenge to you this morning, if you want to see a big difference in your life, then start dealing with your sin. Let's start pulling some weeds, because I guarantee that each person in this room, you've got enough disease, you've got enough dysfunction in your life that it will keep you busy from now on. Amen? We need to deal with our own junk, our own sin, our own problems. We've got to start pulling weeds. And that's the first thing. The second thing we've got to do is we need to prepare the soil. We need to do some preparation. You see, pulling the weeds, that's what we take out of our life. But when we start preparing the soil, it's what we put back into our life. And so when you know this, I mean, when you're gardening and you're working in your yard, you pull stuff out. You've got to take the weeds out. If you just like break it off, it's going to pop. It grows right back, and it seems like it grows back bigger and faster than before. And so we've got to get down and we've got to pull it out. But if you pull out a big weed in your yard, or you spray weed kill and you kill a whole big section of your yard and you don't do anything else, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come back, right? Because if there's one tiny piece of that root left, that sucker's going to come right back. And we've got to be careful, because when in our spiritual life, the same thing happens. If we don't replace that with something better, then it's going to come back. And sometimes it comes back bigger and stronger than before. And so when you kill weeds in your yard, what do? You plant new seed. You put new seed down, or you put fertilizer down, because we know that the best defense against weeds in a yard is to have a healthy grass. It's to have a healthy soil where it's growing so good that the weeds don't ever even have a chance to sprout in the first place. And our spiritual lives, hear me on this, that's what our spiritual lives need to look like. And so when we take out one thing, we need to replace it with something better. We need to add back into our life nutrients. We need to add nourishment. We need to add power. We need to add seed in our life. And so I want to challenge you. We can talk all day long about pulling weeds and dealing with the sin in our life. But if we don't start replacing it with something better, then we're going to find ourselves right back in the same mess as before. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 4, verse 8. And this is a verse that Paul says, this is what we've got to focus on. This is what we've got to think on. If you want to see a big difference, this is it. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. One thing. Here's one thing that we need to remember. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. And so what we see Paul saying here, okay, you've got to focus your mind. And we're going to be talking over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about our words, we're going to be talking about our thoughts, and we're going to be talking about our actions. And when we start dealing with those, we've got to constantly refocus ourselves on what is good, what is holy, what is pure, what is right. We've got to replace the sin. We've got to replace the evil. We've got to replace the temptation and the desires of the flesh. And we've got to replace them with what is good. Paul said, you know what? He said, keep putting into practice all this that you've learned, all that you have received from me. It's a process. We keep doing this over and over. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. In other words, he modeled for them what it looked like to live like Christ. And he's saying that's the type of life we're talking about. When we prepare the soul and when we spend time focusing on what is holy and what is right, it becomes healthy. And we see it start growing and we see it start taking shape. And those small things make such a huge difference. And in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, we see the prophet Jeremiah talk. He spoke to the nation of Israel and he explained to them what this kind of looked like. And if they wanted to grow strong in their faith, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart, now get this, this is where we've got to start dealing with our human heart, with the internals here. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, I search all hearts. I examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to the action, according to what their actions deserve. That's a sobering passage when we start thinking. We can't hide from God. You may think you're doing a good job just cutting off the tops of the weeds. Guess what? God sees through our motives. He sees our heart. He looks right at us and he knows. He wants us to be like trees that are planted along a riverbank, that our roots grow down deep and strong. And so no matter what situation we find ourselves in life, we've got the nourishment to stand strong. So that weeds aren't growing up and choking out the word. So that the birds aren't coming and picking up the seed. No, we are so healthy. We are growing. We are fruitful in our life. That's a picture of the change that we're talking about. I read another book this week by Paul David Tripp, and it was called How People Change. And I've got a quote up here I want to put on here. He says, when the gospel is central, people can look honestly at their sin, not just behavioral sin, but the heart sin beneath. In other words, getting all the way back to the root. Real repentance looks deeply at the ways we have forsaken Christ. This produces sorrow and humility for allowing something to displace Christ from the highest place. Faith then lays a hold of the grace and the love offered to the repentant person. And when repentance and faith are joined in this way, the person's heart is recaptured by Christ. This is what produces lasting change from within. I just want you to think about that for a minute. We have to get real. We have to acknowledge that there is sin in our life. That's what repentance is. And it's realizing that we have forsaken Christ, that we have allowed other things in our life to take the place of Christ in our life. That's the problem that we run into. We start worshiping created things rather than the Creator God. And so when we realize that real repentance, it looks deeply at that. We realize that we have sinned against a holy, a righteous God. It produces sorrow. It produces humility. And then we lay hold of the grace and the love offered to us through the cross of Christ. And when repentance and faith are joined this way, what we see is our heart gets recaptured by the gospel. Christ takes hold of us. And we see lasting change take place. And so through this series, we're going to be talking about what this looks like. In closing today, when we look through the Scripture, you'll see a phrase happen numerous times throughout Scripture. And the phrase is one thing. And so I want you to start thinking about what is that one thing in your life that needs to change? David in the Old Testament, you know, King David, he was known as a man after God's own heart. Do you know what one thing he wanted? We read in Psalm 27:4, he says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. What we see in David's life, he said, there's one thing that I'm passionate about. There's one thing that's a priority of my life. It's to be in God's presence. What if that was your one desire, your one thing? We read Paul in the New Testament. If you remember, he had a pretty ugly past. He not only did he persecute Christians once he became a Christian, he faced persecution himself. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was snake bitten. He was hungry. He was stoned many times. And not the Colorado way. You know what he said? Some of y'all get that later. He didn't whine. You know what he said in Philippians? He said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. I forget what's behind me, and I strain towards what is ahead. So maybe your one thing here this morning, you're here and you say, I need to forget my past, and I need to move forward. I need to focus on what is ahead. Jesus, when he visited the home of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, Mary was enjoying the presence of Jesus. Martha was back in the kitchen. She was panicking. She was trying to get things done, and she was getting some kind of unhappy. And in Luke 10, this is what we read. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken away from her. And so when Jesus tells Martha, hey, this one thing is important, Mary's found it. It's not going to be taken away from her. When Jesus encountered a very rich, successful young businessman, a guy who on the surface looked like he had it all together, a guy who was a morally good person, he came to Jesus and he said, you know, I followed all your rules. I've done everything I'm supposed to. And Jesus addressed him. He said, he looked at him and loved him. I love that. He didn't just condemn him. He looked at him. He loved him. And this is what he said. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have. Give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And we know the story that the man, he was holding on to his thing. So he couldn't do that. So he walked away from Jesus. And so let me just ask you this morning, what is your one thing? Here's your assignment on your worship guide. There's this, what is your one thing? What is that one thing in your life? As we start talking about small things that make a big difference, I have a feeling that as soon as I started this morning, there's something that popped into your mind that you needed to deal with. And if not, as we've talked about things that we need to pull out of our life and things that we need to put into our life, what is that one thing that you need to change? That's going to be our focus. That's going to be your focus for these next 4 weeks as we go through this series. That you focus on that one thing. That one thing, maybe it's a nasty addiction that you've been battling. Maybe it's depression. Maybe that it's just something that's causing you to doubt God's love for yourself. Maybe it's a damaged relationship. Maybe it's something in your past. Whatever it is, would you just acknowledge it and say, this is the one thing that I'm going to focus on, that I need God's help with, that I want to see change take place in my life. I love what the Lord told Israel in Ezekiel 36. And I think this applies to us as well. He says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, your stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. You see, as we start talking about change, the reality is we can't do this on our own strength, but we can do it because Christ has given us a new heart. I truly believe that if we get serious about addressing the things in our life that need to change, we'll see a huge difference. We'll see a huge difference in our lives. We'll see a huge difference in this church. In Matthew 25, we read about the parable of the talents. And this is where I say small things will make a big difference. If you read that parable, you see one servant got five talents and one got three and one got one. And we see that they received different number of a different amount of money. The one who received five talents, he went and he doubled it. And when he came back to the master, his master said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. You've been faithful in the small things, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And I just want to ask you this morning, when you get to the end of your life, what do you want to hear? You want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. It starts with the little things. It starts with being faithful in those little things. And as Christ grows in us, as we grow to become more like Christ, as we grow in Him, we start seeing that He will trust us with much bigger things. We'll start seeing a big difference take place through our life. So I want to challenge you this morning. What is that one thing that you're going to focus on? Let's not overcomplicate this. Let's just focus on that one thing. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up, and I want you guys, if you would, just to bow your heads in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank you that we can be in this place, that we can worship you, that we can reflect on our own lives. And Lord, may we acknowledge that there is sin that needs to be dealt with in our own lives. Instead of trying to point out sin in everybody else's life, can we start right with our lives? And can we look inside and look at the anger and the lust and the greed and the hatred and the broken relationships and all those things? And can we start dealing with that? Lord, help us to pull the weeds. Help us get to the root of the problem. Help us to really focus on what our life would look like, healthy and growing and vibrant. That's what you've called us to be like trees planted along a riverbank. Lord, I pray for each person in this room that you would just help them to have a healthy spiritual life, that they would be able to get rid of the weeds that are choking out the joy and choking out the fruit in their life. Lord, I pray that these small things, that as we address them, as we identify them, as we confess them, that you will turn them into much greater things for your glory. That's our prayer and that's our hope. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this body of believers. We thank you for this opportunity we have. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen. So as we close this morning, that one thing is really just between you and God. If you wanted to take out a communication card and say, this is my one thing, and write it down, if you want some accountability there, feel free to do that. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, I need to take the first step of faith, and I need to put my faith, my trust, my belief in Jesus Christ, then please let us know. Every week, and I've said this before, we see more lives saved and more lives changed between services, after services, as people come up and just talk and share life. And so we're always available. I'll be over to the side to pray, to talk, to encourage, whatever your need is, to answer any questions you may have. We're not in a hurry, and I don't want you to be either. But what we want to do right now, you guys, can we stand up? Let's stand up. We're going to close with a time of worship, and let's thank God for who He is and for what He's done.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Won't worry about tomorrow, trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Putting my fears aside, I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm giving my hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow, trusting in what you say. Today is the day.
Your day today. Thank you.